Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, today we're going to have a little bit of fun. Is that okay? Probably not going to go real deep in some of the things that I might say, but are things that I think we need to hear again, especially in the time that we are living. Who knows what's happening next month? I mean, with the elections coming up, all the commercials, I don't believe none of what I'm seeing. And you shouldn't either. What we need to be believing is what we read in the Word and what the Lord is saying to us when we pray. So, that being said, I think it's real important, the three things that I kind of want to talk about today, it's real important as believers and as the body of Christ, we evaluate ourselves and find out where are we in these things that we're going to talk about. And if we need to make adjustments, we need to make some adjustments. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am not there. So what I'm saying, I've got the four fingers, three fingers and the thumb pointing back at me before anybody else because I'm just not there. But I'm striving to get there. And that's what I love about the name of our church, Journey Church. I'm on this journey. And I know that today I'm further along in my journey than I was yesterday, or at least I should be. Now, I would be lying if I didn't tell you if my journey is this way, if there's some days I'm doing like this. You want to know why? Because I don't always have good thinking. I have stinking thinking. Driving down the road and you get cut off. What do? Lord, bless that person in Jesus' name. Now, that might be the second thing that I do. And then the third thing is repent for the first thing. Y'all know I'm in good company. That is awesome. So today, the first thing that we need to talk about is our image. You know, in Corinthians, when you open up the book and you find out that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all together hanging out, God says, hey, let's do something. So they start creating. And then they create us. And they didn't create us in the image of an animal. They didn't create us in the image of, even though that would be cool, but we're not in the image of an inanimate object. We're made in the image of God, right? So when I look in a mirror, as I'm walking up to the mirror, I'm hoping that my reflection is like Dolph Lundgren or Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back, Robert. But it's not. When I look in a mirror, what is the image that I see? I see me. So if I'm looking at me according to Scripture, what should I be also seeing? Now, Robert, stand right there. Who do you see right there?
Me.
Every bit of you. Blake, who do you see? Now, are you looking at yourself or are you looking at me? Huh? Okay, stand up close to the... Get up here. Now, what do you see? Your feet. Oh, sorry. Okay. shoes of peace. We can go to the armor of God anyway, you know, okay? But when we look in a mirror, thank you. When we look in a mirror, we see ourselves. I'm not going to do like Pastor Joey and blind everybody. But can you guys kind of see yourself? And who do you look like? You look exactly like you. Well, guess what? You had nothing to do with how you look. God has everything to do with how we look. Now, I will tell you, God didn't tell me to, you know, eat the extra donuts and the extra, you know, some of the poundage is my fault. I can't blame God for that. But the fact is, God made me with this nose and with this ear. He made me with the mouth. He made me with my hair color that you can't see. But I am made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, every one of us, we can look in this mirror and we can begin to pick out the things that we don't like. But why is it we don't like them? I'm going to tell you why. Because we have, over the years, have compared ourselves to what the world says we should look like. So this little mole thingy right here, if I had a choice, I wouldn't have it there. It's not a big deal. But according to the world standards, that's a blemish on my face. My nose, this little hump right here from running into too much stuff with my face. If I lived by the world standards, it wouldn't be there. It would be straight and a little more narrow, a lot less hair. That's the world standards. But every time you look in the mirror and you begin to pick out something that you don't like, we have to be careful because we're messing with something God created. Now, I don't look like Blake. I don't look like Stuart. I don't look like Josh. I don't look like none of you. And a lot of you are going, thank you, Jesus. But the fact is, we're all created unique. Now, some of us can sing. Some of us pretend to sing. Some of us can play instruments. Some of us can work on machinery, work on cars. There's a lot of stuff I can't do that you can do. That's what's so good about being in the body. Amen. And, you know, we could go into the verses that talk about the body, how every little thing has its place. But not everything, every person is the same. If we did, what good would we be? So just because you can't sing or you can't play an instrument like Rodney does, doesn't mean, what's the matter? I thought you were going to tell me my zipper was down.
It's just not there.
Sorry. But that side's not near as pretty. So, again, when we see ourselves, we need to see ourselves as created after the image of God. And when somebody else, when you're talking to somebody else, you got to realize too, they're looking at the image of God. As a Christian, we're supposed to be a representative of who Christ is, right?
Right.
Now, does that mean Christ is 6 feet two, 280 pounds? In this instance, right here, absolutely. In these shoes, because I represent Christ and Christ is in me, then that's Jesus. Now, if Pastor Joey is here at 5'6", well, he's probably a little bit taller than that. But you get what I mean? Whatever size you are, whatever weight you are an exact representation of who Jesus is. That's who we are. That's who we are to each other. That's who we are to the world. So listen, during this time of absolute confusion that's going on in the world, we have to understand that We are the representative of Christ in everything that we do. We are the image of God wherever we go. Amen? Amen. That's number one. Number two is our actions. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be, we have jobs we go to. We've got things that we have to care for, our kids, our spouses, families. Some of us are, our parents are old and they need our help. We have to do all those things. But we're also supposed to be bearing fruit. Matthew 7:16-20 says, "You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they?" Now, have you ever picked blackberries? Now, you might hit a thistle or two going in for a blackberry, but blackberries come from a blackberry bush, and blackberry bushes just happen to have, and them big old juicy blackberries, in my opinion, are worth the scrapes. Blackberry cobbler is one of my favorite. Hint, hint. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So what kind of fruit are you? I will tell you this. This morning, Jamie was making some copies in the room, and I went in there to try and scare, because I'm pretty good at that. Aren't I, Daphne? Yeah. And the only thing that gave me away is I did one of them numbers on the carpet. Messed it up. But I happened to look over on the counter, and there was some bananas sitting on there. And I told Jamie, I said, "Man, I need to use those bananas because I could toss one to somebody. The only problem is they were really, really brown." And Blake, I had you in mind when I was going to do that, so I spared you that. But we're supposed to bear fruit, right? Galatians 5 says, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But, big but, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the words of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery." And that's a big one, especially this time of the month. Yes. Not going to chase that rabbit. "Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger when you're on the highway, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not enter the kingdom of God." Who wants to go to heaven? Then you better not be doing any of these. Am I right? Is that not what the word just said? If those that do these things will not enter the kingdom of God. So how do we reflect the image of God? Certainly not by the above things that we just read, but by the next verse in verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against there is no law." If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What's the difference? What is the difference to live by and walk by? What do you think the difference is? Now, right now, I can tell you I'm living by the Spirit. Can you see that I'm living by the Spirit just by looking at me? But now if I say, "I'm walking by the Spirit because He's telling me to go this way," what am I doing? I'm being obedient to what He says. I'm walking in the Spirit. Now, we got to do both. It's kind of like hand in hand. Living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, it's a together thing. You can't do one without the other. However, there are a lot of people that try. Okay, so if we are to be walking and living and operating in the fruit of the Spirit, that means love is the first one we're supposed to be operating in. What is love? It's a strong affection for another arising out of a kinship or personal ties. Me and Robert, we're on the worship team together. We love each other. There's a relationship. And I know Pastor Joey in the past has talked about the three kinds of love, phileo, agape, and there's a third one. Eros, yeah. But what we're talking about is the fellowship kind, the agape love. No conditions. We love each other. That's easy to do with people here in the church for the most part. Well, just think about it. Everybody you know, do you really, really love them? Or do you tolerate some? I'm going to tell you what, there's some days in my house, I think my wife is just tolerating me. I don't think she loves me. I think she's just tolerating me. And it's probably my fault. No. We're committed to each other. So regardless of how goofy I am, she loves me. All right, what about joy? We're supposed to walk in joy, a state of happiness or felicity. Look up felicity. I don't know what it is. It has something to do with happiness and joy, being joyful. But see, that right there sounds like joy, doesn't it? Have you ever been with somebody, and I mean absolutely something stupid that they said, but you started laughing, they started laughing. Next thing you know, you're crying and your stomach hurts because of something stupid. But again, your relationship and the love you have with that person, that joy just comes bubbling up and you start laughing. Joy is not necessarily an emotion. Actually, it's not an emotion. Because you know, you can walk in joy when things absolutely are horrible. It's not easy to do, but depending on where our focus is, it's definitely doable. All right, what about peace? A state of tranquility or quiet. In our country right now, it seems like it's absence of peace just about everywhere you go. Sometimes the only peace people know is when everything is going their way. But that's not even peace. What is peace? Peace is something that God gives us regardless of what we're dealing with. I mean, I've been through experiences where fear absolutely could have taken over. And it's, you know, when Jamie in 2014 had her first brain surgery, when they had to clamp her to that table while she was awake and drill a hole in her head while she was awake. Now, as a man, as a fixer in my house, there was absolutely nothing I could do to help her. And to think they got a DeWalt drill, you know, they bought on sale at Lowe's and was going to drill a hole in her head, that just kind of freaks you out. You know what I mean? But you know what? You know what my wife did? Now, I'm telling you, she's awake. She's got to talk because they had to drill a hole and insert a wire down in there, and they had to move it around and ask her questions to find out if they're putting it in the right place. Who does that? And so they had to ask her questions while they were doing that. And so she was talking to them. And she was in absolute peace through the whole thing. In fact, so much so that before the doctor, he pulled the trigger and she said, wait, we got to pray. The doctor stopped and come around and said, what did you say? She says, we got to pray because I believe what you're getting ready to do is going to help a bunch of people. And the doctor let her pray. He didn't pray. I think he was a believer because he stopped and she prayed and there was absolute peace. Randy, are you getting this? Because you need this message more than anybody I know. I'm just kidding. I told him I didn't put him on security team because he needed to hear what I had to say. What about patience? How about we just skip that one? I can just mark that. No. Bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. I think we all just need to come to the altar and repent. Because this would be easier. If you've never complained, raise your hand. That's exactly what I thought. And see, and that's what I'm saying. I haven't arrived because I can do this pretty quick. And even if I don't say it from my lips, but I think it in my brain, what is that saying? If I complain in my mind, what am I doing? I'm going against the word. I'm complaining. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Kindness, the quality of state of being kind. Do you know how cheap it is to be kind? Yet, when you look around the world, do you see much kindness? What do we see? A lot of self-centeredness. It's all about me. So there's some people, when they look in the mirror, they're like, oh, yeah. I am God's gift. Which makes them completely selfish. They don't care who they step on. As long as they get what they want, it doesn't matter. That's against the word. We're supposed to be kind to everybody. And even sometimes to our detriment. You know, I have in traffic been in a hurry to get someplace, but I have applied my brakes because somebody wanted to come over and backed up and waved them over. Is that being kind? In my mind, I was being kind. I was also walking in some self-control because I, you know, instead of speeding up like I really wanted to, I backed up and let them come over, preferring somebody else. That's being kind. Didn't cost me nothing. Didn't even cost me any time. Goodness, the quality or state of being good. That's cheap. Being honest. We was at Walmart yesterday buying some stuff, and, you know, we had $300 in one basket. It's amazing. I can lift $300 in with one hand now. But as she scanned through, both Jamie and I, we was watching, and she got done and put it and started going. I said, wait, you missed one. And she comes, thank you. Almost like, I've never had anybody tell me that I missed something. You know, usually it's like, but I would rather be up front with everything that I got than God say, you knew that she missed that back in the day when you was at Walmart. Why didn't you say something? Right. I would rather suffer, pay a little bit more here than suffer, pay a little bit more standing in front of the Lord. Faithfulness, steadfast in affection or allegiance. Oh, Lord. It's like faithfulness, we don't have it today. It's like it's went out the window. You know, back in the day, some of us old timers, when we got a job, we stuck with that job. There's some people in this room, they got a job right out of high school. They worked 40 years in that job. That doesn't mean that they loved it every single day, but they were faithful to that job. They were committed to that job. Today, people will job hop like crazy. People will church hop like crazy. Now, I get it. If you're not in church and you're looking for a church, you're going to go and you may try out a few churches. But if the Lord places you in a church and you feel that's where you're supposed to be, guess what? Something's going to be said that you're not going to like. Somebody's going to do something you don't like. That's not an excuse for you to leave. If God's called you to a church, be faithful. If God's called you to a spouse, be faithful. God's called you to a job, be faithful. That doesn't mean He can't move you. He might, but it's at the direction of the Holy Spirit, not because somebody made you mad or, you know. And it's even this. I'm at this job right here. Well, this person, Mr. Ray, offers me the same type job for $7 more an hour. Who would jump on that? I'm not saying you're not supposed to. But as a Christian, are we supposed to be led by what we feel, or are we supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit? Because listen, the Holy Spirit might have you at that job making whatever it is you're making because somebody is there, needs Him, and you're the only person that can do it. If you jump because of $7, you could be jumping right out of the will of God. Now, with that being said, that opportunity might come, and the Lord says, yes, I want you to go. For $7 an hour, thank you, Lord. It happens. I know it does. But it's, again, it's about being led by the Holy Spirit before we do anything. All right? What was the favorite? Gentleness, the quality or state of being gentle. That means don't be a bully. Don't always push your way. Mildness of manners or disposition. Being chill. And then a big one that we all deal with, and that's the last one, is self-control. I mean, do I need to say anything? We all deal with self-control issues. I mean, I remember when I was little, we would go to Kentucky Fried Chicken up in Ludington, Michigan, and they had a buffet. Martha, close your ears. You ain't going to want to hear this. But they would have a buffet, and the buffet was, at that time, was like $3.99 a person. And it was pitch till you win. And you know what our goal was as a family? I love it. We still talk about it to this day. Is to see how much chicken we can eat. Now, back in them days, I could throw down. When I was a teenager, you know, I was like a $1.50, a $1.60, skinny as a rail, but I could woof it down. And I remember there was one day we, as a family now, we ate 39 pieces of chicken. Oh my goodness. That includes the coleslaw and the, you know, I couldn't do that today. But because of things like that, I grew up, man, woofing down. I had no self-control when it come to food. Now, self-control for food might be easy for some of you, but there's something else that you struggle with self-control that's probably not a big deal to me. You know, but we all have self-control issues. But walking in self-control, it's a huge deal. So walking in the fruit of the Spirit, it's not an option for us. And walking in the fruit of the Spirit is something that we should be doing every single day. And it needs to start in our family, with our family. Some of us, that's the hardest part. Brothers, sisters, sometimes husbands and wives. Just, you get on each other's nerves. That's it. You like my fruit?
Yes.
What in fruit is good about fruit?
What in fruit is good about fruit?
Okay. I'll just tell you. It's seeds. How do we get apples? From apple seeds. How do we get oranges? Well, then how do we get bananas? I've never seen a banana seed. But we still got them. All right. Stuart, take a look at my apple.
That's fake.
What?
That's fake.
What do you mean that's fake?
It's not real.
But does it not look like an apple?
It feels like an apple. It looks like an apple, but it's not.
It's fake. So if that's fake, what does it mean it doesn't have?
Seeds.
Ray, check out my orange. But does that not look like an orange?
It looks like one. It is orange.
So if I wouldn't have tossed it to you guys, you would have thought I was holding real fruit. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of Christians that are just like that. Can I see my apple? This apple looks exactly like a red, delicious apple. If I was to try and take a bite of this, I would have to yell for a dentist. Because it is fake. It's hollow. There's no fruit in it. There's no seeds in it. This apple cannot reproduce itself. So if I was to take and throw it at somebody, it would be like throwing a rock. Of course, if you've ever been hit by a real apple at the time, it feels like the same thing, just about, really. But the fact that as believers, as trees producing good fruit, we should be producing seeds that can reproduce. It's just like the image. We're supposed to be modeling the image of Christ. We're supposed to be sowing the seeds that Jesus sowed. Sowed. But if we're hollow, we can look good. We can be the right color, right shape, even have the little green thing come off the stem. We can look exactly right. But if you're fake, according to the scripture, what did it say a bad tree, what is done to a bad tree that produces bad fruit? Do you think the tree that they're talking about represents, he's talking about us? I don't want to be cut down and thrown into fire. I want to produce good fruit. Now, again, I'm not saying that I always do. My wife can tell you, in fact, she's been actually having a blast with this because, you know, I'm talking about, you know, what I'm going to share, and I would say something. She says, well, how is that showing self-control? Well, wait. How is that showing kindness? I'm like, come on, honey, it was just a joke. But the fact of the matter is, we have to be producing real fruit, real seeds. This looks pretty on the table. You can leave that on a table for years and years and years. What happens if you leave a real piece of fruit on the table? It's going to rot. Now, you know what you can do, though? You can get them seeds, go out and plant another one. You can't do nothing with this one because you'll never get a seed from this. So I say that to say this. Be a seed planter. Be a seed sower. Sow goodness. Sow joy. Sow love. Sow all those things. But start in your own home. Because listen, when things take a bad turn south, they're not going to be looking to this church building. They're going to be looking to their neighbor. You know, the people in the Carolinas, when the storm come through, who are they looking to? They can't look to the government. They're looking to their neighbors. What are their neighbors? Their neighbors are sowing seeds. That's what we are. We sow seeds with those around us. Now, we as a church body will come together and sow seeds. But what happens if this church building was to we come up one Sunday and it's not here? Can we still function as a church? Absolutely. We don't have to have this building because that's all it is a building. That we are the church wherever we are. We can meet in a parking lot, and then we can go to Eva School, or we can go to Cracker Barrel, or we can go to wherever we go, and we can have church. And church is by sowing seed, sowing love, sowing all this kindness. Wow, I'm actually went longer than 15 minutes. You know, Paul prays for the church in Colossians 1. He says, so that you will walk, he's praying for the church, and he says, the reason I'm praying is so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it talks about we as believers are to walk by faith and not by sight. We can't look at the state of our country and be governed by that. Let our feelings and our emotions be tied up in that. Otherwise, we are going to be basket cases. And every one of you would come in the next week with a hairdo like mine because we'd be pulling our hair out. But when we walk by faith and we walk by the word of the Lord, we walk by what the Holy Spirit is telling us, that's when we can be confident in the midst of chaos. Everybody knows Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you think when they were standing in that fiery furnace that they could have operated or begin to walk in a little bit of fear? Because you know, just being around a fire, you can smell it. You can feel the heat. If you're standing in the middle of it, you're consumed by it, but yet they didn't walk by what they saw or even what they felt. They walked on the word of the Lord. Amen. And that's we are too. We all have furnaces. It may not be a literal flame, but it could be a health furnace. It could be a financial furnace. It could be a family furnace. It could be a job furnace. We all have furnaces. We're not in them all the time, but there are days that you're in a furnace. How do you react? Is it you're focused on what's around you and you're consumed by the what you see and smell, the anxiousness, the fear that comes up? Or are you like standing strong because you know what the word says about you? Just like what Austin said in the songs that we sang this morning, the fact that Jesus is enough. Period. It doesn't mean, it didn't say Jesus is enough if you don't have issues in your job. If you're on a mountaintop, Jesus is enough. But if you're in a valley, you better be looking for something else. No. We're all going to walk through hell. And you know, I think Pastor Joey said it. I know I've heard it several times. We're all going to walk through hell. You know how you do, how you deal with that? You keep on walking. Don't stop. Don't focus on what's around you. Keep on walking. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Okay? How long do we get to do these things now? Last point. How long do we get to walk by the fruit? How long do we get to sow seeds? How long do we get to do this? Until we die. Okay. My last little example here. I do these more for me than you. And so I remember what I say. Okay? Austin and Blake. Blake, I need you to take this end right here and walk around that way. Austin, you take and hold this end. Let's just say, for the sake of this example, 80 years represents 1 inch. How many feet do you have out there, Austin?
57.
Does it say how many inches?
6 inches.
Does it give you total just inches? Whatever it is. Okay, if 80 years is 1 inch, and you got how many feet? 57 feet, 6 inches, minus an inch, means eternity is 56 feet, 5 inches. That's just the beginning of eternity. So that first inch, we're sowing seeds. We're dealing with hell. We're walking through the junk. I almost said what Pastor Joey said. We're dealing with stuff we would rather not deal with for 1 inch. And so, Blake, put your thumb over 1 inch. Just that first inch. Just his thumb is about an inch wide. So it covers up that first inch. So look, this. Can you pull the tape up taut so that everybody can see it? Okay, look. Blake's covering 1 inch. He's covering the first 80 years right there. And so every inch is 80 years. Whew, right here, that's 18 feet. 18 times 12, you math people? That's a bunch of years. But here's the deal. Austin is not fully extended. This is a 100-foot tape. He's only at 57 feet. He's got another 43 feet to go. And guess what? We're talking about eternity. How long is eternity?
Forever.
Wait. You say that like you know how long that is. Infinity. And beyond. But it's for... So 80... In just this 57 feet, does his 1 inch compare to Austin's 57 feet, 5 inches?
No.
Can you deal with 1 inch of garbage so you can have all of this and beyond?
Amen.
Listen, I know right now, these shoes I'm standing right now, it's like it's hot, it's smelly, circumstances I don't want to deal with. Right now, it can be tough. It is tough. For some, it's extremely tough. Life and death sometimes. But that's just in the first inch. You know, I say hi to people. I say, how you doing? I say, well, I'm just glad to be this side of the grass. I've stopped and thought, you know what? To be this side of the grass means I'm in that first inch. To be the other side of the grass means I have begun this. Am I going to be faithful in my 1 inch? If we're not faithful in a 1 inch, if we're not producing fruit, if we are like a dry tree producing bad fruit in that first inch, you're still going to deal with this, but it's not going to be in glory. There you are going to experience the heat, the smell, the fire, the circumstances, all the crap that we deal with now in hell. I'm not going to go there. But those that go there are going to experience that and beyond. You can wind up. Thank you. So, I know some of you are going to last longer than 80 years. And that's great. Well, let's say an inch is 100 years. That still pales in comparison. So learning what the Lord wants us to do here on earth, right now we're the representation of. Right now we're supposed to be sowing these seeds, producing the fruit. Because when we cross over that line, we don't have to do it no more. You know what we get to do? We'll follow Jesus. Whatever he does. I'm going to tell you what, I'm believing, y'all have heard of the great banquet table?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I'll have to have self-control there. I'll be able to eat all I want and never gain a pound. But eternity is real. Eternity is infinite compared to what we're dealing with on earth. And, you know, I really hope that goofy little illustration helps you to realize that, you know what? What I'm dealing with now, it's very, very short. He who is faithful to the end. We have to be faithful to the Lord. We have to, and it's not just a one-time gig either. It's an everyday thing because, you know what? What the Lord has me doing today, he may not have me do tomorrow. It may be something else. That's also part of this journey in learning the Lord because it's going to take my whole 1 inch to learn a little bit. I'm going to just see partly until that day I cross over. But in my first 1 inch, I'm doing everything that I can do to find out who God is. Who is God in me? What is my reflection supposed to look like? Can I tell you something? How many in this room, you look like and are exactly just like you were when you was in the sixth grade? Raise your hand. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's in sixth grade. Now, some of you act like you're still in sixth grade. And my wife would say that about me many times. But the fact is, we grow. And the thing is, even in the Lord, we will continue to grow. So you can read this Bible through 20 times, and every time get something new. That's how deep the Lord is. And that's what's exciting about our journey. Right now here on earth, that first inch, let's get all you can get. Now listen, it may be different for me than Stuart, but here's the deal. I can learn from something that Stuart gets. We can look at the same scripture and I say, man, I got this is what I got. And Stuart go, ooh, I never thought about that. This is what I got from that same, and I'm like, ooh, I didn't get that. We can continue to grow and grow, and that's our job, to grow for an inch. Let's grow for an inch together.
Yeah.
And then one day, we'll step over into this infinityness forever, and we'll get to rejoice in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up. Let's pray. Rodney, I'm sorry, I should have told you. I should have told you about an apple ago to come on up. First Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we do, when you're driving in the car, you need to drive to the glory of the Lord. When you're at work, you're doing your work as unto the Lord. When you're at home, whether you're grilling or frying chicken for your family, you do it for the glory of the Lord. Everything that we do, we're to do for the glory of the Lord. That's what we do, and as we become better at that, it becomes easier to sow seeds of love and joy. When we work on not being so self-centered, self-focused, and realizing that I was put on here on earth, first off, for the Lord, to worship Him and to be led by Him, and then second off, for my family, and then friends, co-workers, the strangers, my enemies. Y'all know what the scripture says about your enemy? Are we supposed to kick him in the teeth? Throw him on the ground? Do a suplex on him? No. We're supposed to pick him up and pray for him. I don't care who you vote for, but are you praying for the other person that you're not going to vote for? Or are you running him in the ground? Guilty. But that's not being led by the Spirit. Sometimes being led by the Spirit is so much against our flesh, it's going to feel like it's absolutely impossible to do. But it's not. Do you want to be a fake fruit? Or do you want to be a seed producer? I'm going to put this by my chair at my house. Because I've got to ask myself that question too. Just because I'm on a worship team and I get to preach every once in a while, that doesn't make me immune. Pastor Joey is not immune from the very same things that we all deal with. Life, this life affects all of us. I want to say the same way. Maybe the circumstances are different, but our emotions we have to deal with, things we have to fight, it happens to all of us. The things that you go through, you're not the only one that's going through them. The problem is a lot of times we think that we are. So we won't reach out. We won't ask anybody for prayer because we don't want them to know that we have an issue. Problem is, the person you would ask to pray for has got issues too. And so that's why the word says that you pray for one another. It's what we're supposed to be doing. You have the opportunity to fly higher than you've ever flown before, to be more than you ever thought you could be, to do more than you ever thought you could do. The only thing that limits you, and when I say you, I mean me too, is you. Because we'll compare ourselves to the person next to us. We're not supposed to compare, period. We're looking to Christ and we're saying, I want to be like you, Jesus. Help me. And he will. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word is so true. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that when we look to, when we seek you out, you are not far. You give us direction. The word says that when we draw close to the Lord, he draws close to us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are faithful to your word. That when we evaluate our lives and we begin to ask ourselves the questions of, Lord, am I walking? Am I producing the fruit of your Spirit? You'll point out the areas in our life that we need work on. But Lord, I know that you won't just point them out and then leave us. You'll point them out and say, let's do this together. So thank you for your faithfulness. Now I'm going to say this morning that the only way you can walk by the fruit of the Spirit is if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can be a good person, but it's not gonna get you nothing. That goodness is hollow. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way you can produce fruit. So I offer this morning that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today's the day. And I'm going to ask you just lift your hand. If you don't know Jesus and you want to meet him today. All right? For those of you that say, I do walk by some of those fruit, but I struggle with other fruit. I need help. Raise your hand. Holy Spirit, you see the hands going up, and you know even if a hand isn't going up, who's lying and who's not. But Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need your help. Help us to be that bright light in our community, in our neighborhood, on our street, in our workplace, where we reflect the image of God in those we come in contact with. That we produce fruit and we sow the seeds that you have told us that we need to be sowing. We need your help to do it. Because Lord, we want to be the church that you come back for. We want to be ready. We want to take our first 80 years and be faithful with those 80 years. So that the rest of eternity, we're with you, walking in glory. And Father, help us to sow the seeds, plant the seeds, that others will come along with us, those in our family, those that we work with. Lord, even the stranger that we meet at the store, that we can sow seeds in their lives to help them become curious about why we acted the way we acted, that we had joy. And we seem to be concerned about them and talk to them. Help us to be good representations of you, Lord. Father, I pray for these people as we go home today, that words that were said through song or through my word, God, that it will begin to stir in their heart and their spirit. Begin to look at our own lives and say, you know what? I need to do this a little different. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.